Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning into Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 18, Episode 7. This week, we heard Bob's conversation with Ash and Shiashi from the We Are Resilient podcast. This was a great discussion and helped to educate us all about the missing and murdered Indigenous people crisis. Today, I'm joined by Bob and Janet, and the three of us are here to dive into your listener questions and talk about it all. But before we get into that, do we have any housekeeping?
No, I mean, these episodes, these follow-ups during season 18, the whole thing's kind of housekeeping. No, I'll tell you this. I guess I was going to tell you this at the end. I'll tell you up front. This Sunday's episode is really good. I'm super excited for you guys to hear this one, too. But I was interviewing the host of a podcast that does not yet exist as we're recording this. So we're recording this on Tuesday. The actual podcast drops on Thursday. So if you're listening to this not live on Friday when it drops, yesterday, the first two episodes of a podcast called Blood Will Tell is dropping on Thursday, first two episodes of a six-part series. So when you're done listening to this follow-up, I would highly recommend you go listen to the first two episodes of Blood Will Tell. Check it out. The host, Jen Miller, is who I interviewed. She's freaking fantastic. It was really, really interesting conversation, I thought. We went into a lot of different angles. But in that conversation, I'm desperately, because I was given an advanced copy of the podcast, so, and it was so good that I literally binged the entire podcast before I talked to her. So not only was I trying not to spoil episodes 1 and 2, which listeners could listen to before they hear that one, I was trying not to spoil the entire ending of the podcast, because I know how the whole thing wraps up, because it was so good. I just binged the entire thing in one day. So I listened to all 6 episodes. I feel like I did a nice job of towing that line, didn't give anything away. But there are some spoilers for episodes 1 and 2, which we acknowledge. And I tell you in the first few minutes of Sunday's episode to hit pause, go listen to those first episodes and come back. So go check out Blood Will Tell. It's the first two episodes. Really good, super duper unique podcast. It's what I'll tell you, like on Sunday, like some of the conversation is this true crime? Because it's one of those that it's like based around crime, but like there's a deeper story there, and that's all I'm going to tell you, but check it out.
You can, and for those in the live right now, just so you know, you can preload it. In other words, I'm following it, even though the episodes haven't dropped, to non-Wondery subscribers, but it's from Campsite, and Campsite, I really like so much of what they do.
Yeah, they're great. And did they drop a trailer? Is there a trailer on the feed?
That's a great question. Do you see one? Yes, there is. There certainly is.
Yeah. So you can check out.
Yeah, there's a 2-minute, 31-second trailer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can check out the trailer to that. I may even, if I'm feeling froggy, I have a very busy week, but I may see if I can get somebody from Campsite to send me the trailer. And if so, I may attach it to the end of this podcast, or have Erica attach it to the end of this podcast. But I'll do that quick because she's coming in tomorrow to edit it. Yeah. So I guess that's kind of housekeeping. That's a thing you can do, is go listen to Blood Will Tell, 2 episodes of that before Sunday's episode. And this one, the conversation with Ash and Shiashi, I wish I could remember. This is one of those things I should have looked up beforehand. But the listener who recommended this to me, thank you so much, because that was one of those, you know, I don't have a lot of time to go scrolling around to look at all the true crime podcasts that were out there. I never heard of the show before. Really good. It was awesome for me to meet Ashin Shiashi and learn. Like, I learned so much in that, just in that conversation. Like even just as simple as the Pocahontas story. You know, that was so interesting to me that I had no idea what the real story was beyond that or behind
that. Yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah. And how shitty that people take something that is a horrific, tragic thing and turn it into this lovely little love story. What'd you guys think of that?
I did know that, but it's from other reasons, but I did kind of know that, but it is awful. It's such an awful thing for them to do.
Agreed.
So yeah. I have something that I think both of you will find very interesting. I'll put this out there, then I'll jump around a little bit. The moment this episode came out, I texted my mother and I said, "Hey mom, you need to listen to this new episode of Truth and Justice. I think you'll really enjoy it based on what it is."
Mm-hmm.
My phone immediately rings, like says red, immediately rings. And she's like, "Oh my goodness, I've already listened to it. I saw it. I've already listened to it. I was going to talk to you about this." So for those that don't know, my mother has a PhD. Her PhD is from Bowling Green University, and her doctoral dissertation is called The Traces of Sali, The Haunting Embodiment and Historical Trauma in the Oral History, Tourism, and Resilience of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. So this exact tribe that these two women are from.
Yeah.
This is a part that you guys do not know. In her dissertation, she references the podcast. She references the war podcast.
Really?
That is crazy. Yes. Oh, cool.
My mother also taught a 3,000-level women's study class at Bowling Green University called Violence Against Women of Color and MMIW. And the war podcast was required listening based on my mother.
That's it. I need so to tell Ashin Shiashi that.
Yeah, yes. So I hope that they are listening to hear this, but it is
let them
just
know.
A small world. She's been listening to that podcast since it came out. She made it required listening in the class she taught. It's just such a cool small world that she's part of, and it's really interesting. And that's why I told you in the pregame, and I'll tell you guys now, with you talking about the two or the three girls in your class that want to do this, that my mother's also offered to help with them.
Which we will take her up on that.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting.
Incredible. So that is incredible.
You referred to it a few times as the war podcast. It took me a second to put together. We are resilient.
Yeah.
Is it known as the war podcast? Is that what they call it?
I do think a lot of people would call it that. I don't know. I mean, it's called We Are Resilient, but they always use that WAR with no periods, no whatever. I mean, that's how my mother referred to it immediately. So
That's awesome. Has she ever spoken to Ashin Shiashi?
She has not. And I think that's really interesting because I would love to connect them.
Yeah, we need to make that happen.
So, hi, Mom. I know you're listening.
That is awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's very, very, very interesting. I could not believe it when she told me that. You know, I knew what her dissertation was about. I have not read it because, you know, I'm a dullard. And it's like there's way too many words in there for me. But she has an entire chapter of her dissertation that's about MMIW. And then she references the We Are Resilient podcast in that. So really, really interesting.
That's great. And in our audience, I'm going to try to real quick scroll through our chat because a bunch of people are talking about some other MMIW and MMIP podcasts, a few other podcasts or Native American Info podcasts I'd like. There's one's called Stolen.
This is Connie Walker. Yeah, I think Tool Girl/Teresa was probably typing that up as I was saying, because I see midway through, she's like, "Yes, Janet, Connie Walker, great podcast."
Yeah.
You had Connie Walker on True Crime Binge.
Right.
Missing and Murdered, Finding Cleo, Stolen, the work she has done on exposing Indian schools and what was done to Indigenous people, kids ripped away from their homes, put in these very abusive environments. It is not easy listening, but it is required listening as far as I'm concerned. She's also doing amazing work in that space, and I'm just such a major fan.
Yeah, and Dada Divinette in the chat also, there's a podcast called This Land, and that's about Native issues. One jurisdiction and other on the Indian Child Welfare Act. Yeah, so there's a lot of content out there surrounding this. And it's just such a, like I said, I learned a lot in the episode. I learned, obviously, the story about Pocahontas, and that just comes from me just not being very well read with Disney stories, I guess. Like, because like I said, like, I didn't know what the fake story was to know that what the real story was, because I've never really followed. I mean, I've heard the Pocahontas story, like, not necessarily like watch the movie, but even the, and I knew there were always access issues as far as like why there is such an epidemic involved, you know, that, that surrounds these tribal communities. But what I did not realize, the element of it where, you know, a non-native citizen cannot be charged or prosecuted for a crime committed on native land unless the FBI gets involved with it, which apparently they rarely ever do. And it's just like, I'm still horrified by that. The whole idea that someone would be like, well, if I want to commit a crime, if I just go over to the reservation, I can do whatever I want and they can't do anything to me and just have no fear of any consequences whatsoever. That's terrible.
Yeah. Why don't I go over into an area that is historically deprived of resources of all kinds and then put that on top of it? It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. But it also explains a lot. You know, because that was one of the things, as I mentioned in the podcast, you know, when the Gabby Petito case was in the news, which I guess it kind of is again now, but when it was in the news, and, you know, that was like my first exposure to, in literally not just like other people are gone missing, but literally in this place where all these people are searching, the world is searching for Gabby Petito, there have been hundreds of Indigenous women that have gone missing in the same place and no one gave a shit about it. Yeah. And then when I started looking into, and this was a few years ago when I was like looking at the numbers, it's like, my God, there's so many. And I've never quite understood why that is, you know, and you know, I had come to the kind of the conclusion, part of it is there's jurisdictional issues, you know, as they said, with investigating it, but I didn't realize to the extent that there were jurisdictional issues, that like literally my thought was it would have to be the tribal police would be the ones that would investigate it because it happened on tribal lands. But it's worse than that. The tribal police can investigate it, but if they determine that the person who did it is, you know, a white person from outside of the tribal community, then there's nothing they can do about it. I had no idea that was going on.
Yeah, it's awful. It's absolutely awful.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Well, so grateful for people elevating those voices and paying attention and making noise and, yeah, raising that awareness. I'm really glad that you spoke to them. And it looks like in the chat, Jules said that Data Divinet was the user who recommended the We Are Resilient podcast. So there's your answer, perhaps, to if that's correct. Jules?
Well, that's
Jules,
awesome.
Are you telling the truth?
I'm going to believe, Jules, that that's the case. And Data, thank you so much. If your Data's in the chat, so they could tell us.
That's right. That's right.
If that's the case. I had a ton of great recommend. As a matter of fact, the one this weekend came from, they reached out to me. I'm the one that you're going to hear on Sunday, but I've had a lot of, I've got feelers out all over. As a matter of fact, Zach, possibly still next week, we had a little scheduling conflict, but Zach had sent me someone from Elkhart. A man was just exonerated by the Innocence Project at Notre Dame's law school, or the Innocence Clinic at Notre Dame's law school, which is just, for those of you who don't know our area, I'm in Michigan, but Notre Dame is 10 minutes from my house. It's right around the corner. I did reach out to them after you sent me that, and I had a Zoom meeting scheduled yesterday with the professor that leads their Innocence Clinic, but he got tied up in a meeting, so we had to push it till next week. So we have a Zoom meeting to discuss them coming on podcast first, and then we're going to hopefully...
Yeah, that'd be great, though. I would be excited to hear that one.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to develop a relationship with them. I've always looked at, like, the Cooley Innocence Clinic, which is at Western Michigan University, because we're in Michigan, which is about an hour, hour and a half from us. For some reason, it never occurred to me just to go pop across the border into Indiana. And, you know, there's an Innocence Clinic right there. So it'd be awesome to be able to, like, develop a relationship with them and be able to help with some of those cases. And I should be able to. I've talked a long time for those, especially in the pregame. You guys know that I've been working on finishing a criminal justice degree and specializing in criminology. I start my capstone for that on March 25th, and I'll be done, hopefully, on June 10th. And as soon as I finish that degree, I can also get my Indiana license, so I'll be able to. And that was a big push because I'm still, you know, doing some work with Bynum's team, but I'm limited on what I can do because of licensure. So, of course, they're in Indiana, so I'm going to be getting the licensure in Indiana, and then I'll be able to help in a more, I hope, more meaningful way with, like, the Notre Dame Law School if they're interested in that.
Awesome. I see there's some chat about the part of the conversation where you guys were talking about Pocahontas specifically, and the Disney thing comes from a long, persistent myth through hundreds of years, since this is back in the 1600s, that persisted, that is, like so many things in our history, utterly whitewashed. And yeah, I mean, it's such slow, it must just feel like the slowest progress, the tiniest little increments in progress, right, with stuff like that. When you think about something that's been misconstrued since the 1600s and just now in the 21st century, some people are starting to be like, wait a minute. Well, maybe this isn't true. It's just like, oh, it's just...
Especially because it's so egregious when you hear, like, that tale was... But you would like to think whoever, you know, created the Disney version of it based on that story maybe did a little fact check. Like, it's not a little off. It's a horrific story of, you know, an 11 or 12 year old girl that was held captive by a man and was, you know, horribly abused and died by 21. And they're like, we can make this into a love story. Like, I'm just like, make it, why, like, make your own story.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Choose a different story. Mm-hmm. You could still, listen, we don't need to be three white people just talking about this, but yeah, the idea of, like, It gets confusing because you do want to have, you know, heroic and wonderful figures of color represented across all forms of media. You just probably don't need to take a controversial, untrue one and decide to use that, you know,
Yeah. It's just so weird to me that, like, surely it was okay, when they made it in the 60s or whatever, maybe nobody was paying attention.
Do you think that the movie Pocahontas was made in the 60s?
I want to say the 60s.
Let's move on.
70s?
Let's move on.
90s.
Again, let's move on.
Tell me there was an original version that got remade.
There may have been.
Were there cartoon movies in the 60s? Let's start
there. Yes, there were.
See.
Yes, there were.
1995.
A little harder to justify it. I told you I've never seen the movie.
It's good. It means it didn't creep into your unconscious and influence your thoughts and perceptions.
You know what it was? I'm sure all these Disney movies came first from, like, a Disney book. Remember them little books?
Oh, you think you're helping yourself right now?
Yeah, it was a book was made in the 60s.
We can move on.
Zach, look that up. Find a book. Find a book in the 60s. Find a Disney book in the 60s. No?
We hope that everyone is checking out We Are Resilient. And I know that Nancy had asked in the Facebook post, I'm sure you realize by now, Nancy, that you're stuck with these three fools instead of having the ladies from We Are Resilient back on.
Yeah.
Nancy was wondering if they were going to join and if they've had some increase in listenership. And you all listening right now can be a part of that if you're not already.
Yeah.
Check that out. They're wonderful. It's wonderful. And, you know, listen, I'm sure you agree that any updates or anything that they would like to reach out to us about, if we can help amplify something, we want to do that. I saw the video on our Facebook page that is clipped and put on there. And that was great. And if there's nothing else you guys want to touch on with that, I do want to just give some really great news. I think a lot of people know, because it is also on our Facebook page, about the pending execution of Charles Sonny Coleman having been commuted. If anybody has been following that, it was featured on Undisclosed. I believe early this week. I think they drop episodes on Monday. I listen to them as soon as they drop when I can. And this is an egregious story of injustice out of Alabama, wherein someone who was a part of a robbery that took place many, 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 many years ago was part of a robbery. Did the person, the victim of the robbery, was killed, perhaps as an act of, you know, like panic. I'm not sure about that, but Sonny was there and was, instead of being charged with felony murder, which is, you can be charged for that, mm-hmm. when something happens to someone and you are there, whether or not you're pulling the trigger. But Sonny was charged with capital murder and was sentenced to death. And the person who pulled the trigger wasn't sentenced to death.
Yeah, well,
so it's just one of those insane situations.
I wasn't familiar. So like my process of learning about this was I looked this morning and I saw an undisclosed social media post that said that, I believe it said he was granted clemency. Is that right?
Yeah, the governor who said, but he's staying in prison. He still gets life in prison.
Okay, so I read clemency as like he was going to be released, but
I don't think so. It just commutes a sentence back to, like, it turns it back into life in prison.
Okay.
Which we can, is sort of perhaps a separate conversation.
Yeah, because he looked like he's quite elderly. Like, has he been in for
a long time? Yeah, he's pretty fragile. He has to wear a helmet. Mm-hmm. He's really beloved at the prison. It sounded like, you know, the warden and all these guards, everyone was like, this man cannot be killed. He can't be killed. This is absolutely wrong. And so there was a lot of fear that execution would have moved forward. If you're listening to this Friday follow-up on Friday, yesterday, Thursday, it was scheduled for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of panicking about it, and I wanted to make sure we talked about it. And I was in the middle of texting with Bob and Zach about it, and then Undisclosed posted that he was just granted clemency and would not be executed, and I just burst into tears.
Yeah, Janet texted me in the group. She's like, hey, we should talk about Sonny's case and try to help, you know, create some movement to help stop this execution. And I was like, I think I just read a post that said it was stopped. And then I sent you the screenshot of that, and
I was like, huh?
Yeah. So I don't know anything about the case. So it was like, how long has he been in?
I can't remember, but it's been some time. I'm sure we could look it up. I just didn't have, I don't have like a full page.
I'm wondering if he was like a young man
details
when it happened and he's been in for a long time.
I believe he's been in for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He's served as a mentor. I believe he has been. Let me see if I can just quickly find some answers. Although, Zach, if you feel like Googling it, you're always faster on the draw than I am.
Yeah. You seem to, Zach, just whip over to.
I know.
Whip what over am I Googling? To the screen.
The case of Charles Sonny Coleman, S-O-N-N-Y. I'm sure if you look in the news, it'll kind of give a little background on how long he's been in. And that's out of Alabama.
But so what I'm wondering is he was charged with capital murder. Did the process, like, was it known that, like, his role, so it was known from the beginning that his role was, he was there as part of the robbery and someone else killed the person.
Yeah.
And then they still charge him with capital murder, even though that was known.
Yeah. I mean, as the guests on the federal defense attorneys on Undisclosed with Colin and Rabia said, and I am paraphrasing, but I think it's fair to say 1991 robbery. Thank you, Teresa. That Alabama likes killing people. And I'm sorry, that's a very grim thing to say, but they are very pro-execution. And as I'm sure will surprise no one at all, heavily on the side of poor black men.
And so it was about 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to see, I found the date, which was, you know, the robbery was in 1991. I was trying to see when he was actually incarcerated, but I haven't found that yet.
So I think Kathy in the chat said he would have been around, or Teresa said he would have been around 40 at the time that the robbery happened. And did I know that the actual murderer didn't get death. Did I read somewhere that they've already been released, or they just didn't get
death? I think he got life. But I think he may have pled out to get life without the death penalty. And Sonny was like, I wasn't even in the building. He was outside. He was like keeping watch or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Why would I take a plea for something like that? And
I was wondering if it was something like the actual shooter, like, testified against Sonny in order to get a deal where he didn't get.
I don't think it was even that complicated. I think it was fairly cut and dry, but the way that things were communicated to the jurors was very suspect and confusing and strange. Mm-hmm. Where the defense attorneys interviewed jurors who were at the time very conflicted, but essentially had been told, like, he has to be found guilty of capital murder, period.
Yeah.
And they were like,
similar. That actually reminds me of something else that's kind of been going on this week, as we've kind of turned these follow-ups into what's going on this week. So it reminds me of, like, Jennifer Jeffley's case, right? If she did, which I don't think she did, even if she did the thing they said she did, she was standing outside keeping a lookout while two people were supposed to go in and rob somebody. And they end up killing the woman, and then she gets charged with murder and is sentenced, you know, the rest of her life in prison. Meanwhile, they make no effort to find the two guys that actually did the crime in the scenario that the state is projecting. But that also reminded me, one of our listeners, Juan Martinez, who's just great at, I think I just said that off the top of my head, and I hope I'm right about that name. Juan, I'm pretty sure I is definitely right. But they've done a lot of cases. They're very good at, like, doing research and background. And they had just made a post. If you're on our Facebook page, if you look up Juan, I'm going to say Martinez, and let's just say that's right. They said that they had a theory after the season, after season 10, I believe it was Jennifer's season.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Keep going.
About some people that are connected to Eva, who was kind of, you know, a person of interest from in our world, at least in the whole thing, that connection to her, and, like, was able to track down that those two people got arrested for an almost identical crime years later. So I haven't had time to dig into it, but it's definitely something that I want to look into more. And I've had Jennifer's case on my mind a lot lately. But yeah, it was like, somebody was looking out for them. They went in to rob somebody. They stole their car. It was just like almost lock and step with what happened in Jennifer's case, in this other case. And it was also people. Oh, and it was something like there was a connection to the person who lived in the upstairs apartment. I don't remember all the details. It's worth reading the post. But yeah, just thought that was super interesting that it seems like two people still attached to Eva in a very similar manner did a very similar thing years after Jennifer Jeffley's still been in prison.
Yeah. Thank you for doing all that work on that one.
Hey, everybody. Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pre-game podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you don't mind giving folks who maybe aren't as up to date, and also it's just always good to get a reminder on this. Joy says, you mentioned your students picking cases and I realized I'm out of the loop on them. Are they doing another season of Underestimated? Sorry if answered on previous pregames or follow-ups. I am woefully inconsistent with those. Joy, no worries. It's always nice to get a refresher.
Yeah. And actually, that should have been in the housekeeping section. But yeah, they are. So I have a new group of students this year in my investigative journalism class, and they are currently hard at work for season two of Underestimated. Actually, their assignment this week is for them to have their second episode fully scored, music done, ready for publish. And to have their episode three scripts written so that we're going to do it same as we did last year, which is we're shooting for the week after our spring break, which is like the second week of April, to start launching. So we're waiting till this year. I condensed it. We have one class instead of two full classes. So I think we had six different groups last year. So this year we have, let me think through that case, that one. So we have four groups this year. One of them is the returning student, Chelsea, who if you guys listen, know her. She was the sole remaining not senior that worked on the Jeanette Robertson mm-hmm. case. She came back to follow up on that, and she's been really struggling with a lot of access. That's one of those cases where there's like a bunch of people that are super interested in it that all have their kind of pet theories about it. Nothing was being done. We came in and it started like generating all this attention. We got the state police that are working on us, communicating with us. I think they're really helping move the investigation forward. But some of those local folks that are like kind of making some of their own media about it, it seems like they put like a lock hold on some of the players involved, because I feel like they don't. They're like, oh, we want all the attention. And they're like, oh, wait, these kids, which, you know, made it into the top 10 on their podcast about it. We want the attention back now. So Chelsea's had a little bit of a struggle, but there's going to be two follow-up episodes for the Jeanette Robertson case are coming back up. Gracie, who you remember from last year, is leading a team doing an unsolved murder case out of Indiana. And there's another group that is an entirely new group you haven't heard from yet. And they're working on a missing persons case that has a tie-in to, they found out as they've investigated, has a possible tie-in with a well-known serial killer, not Israel Keyes. And so they're working on that. They were actually interviewing a detective today about that. And then one of our groups, you'll remember, for those of you that listened, Asia from last year, she was part of two groups. Because she was in both of my hours last year. So she was part of the Stephen Kraft group. She was also part of the Voiceless group. So she kind of did both of those two cases. She has a new team with her this year. And actually, Bailey was there last year, and Bailey has joined that team with her. Bailey was never on mic last year. She did everything behind the scenes. She'd actually get behind the microphone this year a little bit.
Nice.
And they took a really unique approach. So for you guys to know, the guys that listen, and by the way, if you haven't, for those of you that are like, what are you talking about? Go check out the Underestimated podcast. It's a podcast completely 100% produced by high school students about real life cases. Came out last year. It was wildly popular. You know, they were getting like more downloads than me. Jerks. but yeah, they do a phenomenal job. But the assignment was not find a true crime case to talk about. The assignment was find a situation outside of the school walls that you can spend the year investigating and then produce a podcast that can go out to the world that can have an impact in some way, whether it's moving the case forward, solving something, or even just in a lot of the cases, especially those missing persons cases, you know, the family members just reached out and were just so thankful for their stories to be told. So the part of the assignment was you can't do something that's been when they do their pitches at the beginning of the year. If it's already covered in mass by media already, let's not do that. We want to take a case that people aren't super familiar with and share that case with people so we can get the word out about it. But again, doesn't have to be a case. So Asia and her group, they're really, we do in the first semester, we do once a week, we do roundtable discussions. So I let them pick like something that's happening in the news. And it's kind of to on the journalism side of things, we talk a lot about like neutral, unbiased, fact-checked reporting. And so they take something that is, you know, really popular in the zeitgeist right now. And we talk through it. We literally get in a big circle and we talk through it and say, okay, what do you believe based on what you've read in the media? And then we have discussion about that. And then we say, okay, now fact-check everything. So it's like, you know, I believe, so our rule, I have it written on my board, support argument with evidence. So if they're saying, here's my claim, because I heard this on the news, or I read this in, you know, on social media, now go find a source material and fact check it all. Through those discussions, we get a lot of those end up generating around politics. And then Asia and her group decided that they want to investigate why. And this, I love this so much. It's one of those, I'm so interested in the topic, so it's really difficult for me, but I keep my opinion out of it because I don't want to sway anything they're doing. But they, from the kind of the mouths of babes, right? So from a teenager perspective, for a group of kids, young adults, that are coming up on voting age, that are actually paying attention, this group is paying attention to what's happening in the world. They're shy, and one of the students' name is Colton. He's a sophomore. I had him last year in intro. Great kid. I remember he asked me when we were talking about one of the issues, and they're realizing they're what's missing from all this reporting is like nuance. Everybody like takes a thing, finds out how it fits the narrative that they want it to, and it's black and white, whether it's left or right, black or white. He asked in one of those roundtables, he's like, Mr. Ruff, why can we see this and the adults in our lives can't? Like, why can we see that both sides are wrong in this issue, but our parents, our teachers, or whoever, like all the adults in our lives can't see it? And I just said, that's a good question. Why don't you find the answer to it? And that's when Asia was like, that's our podcast. So very unique. Their group is kind of the thesis of it is, they're focusing around, one thing they looked into was all of the people that we elect into power on both sides and the grossness of them, right? So like the things they've done. So it's like, well, the person on this side has, you know, 27 accusations of sexual assault and we elected them. The person on this side has 7 accusations of sexual assault and we elected them. Like, why are we, and their kind of thesis is they believe they went into this trying to investigate to prove whether it is the fact that we've become so politically divided in a partisan nature that we're more concerned with our team winning than having actually a good moral, ethical person in office. So I'm like, I'm really excited. I'm curious how it'll be received because not many people are open to it, but because it's coming from kids and they're being very, very, very transparent about like, we're scared of this. Like, we're scared of this because this is our world we're coming into. And like, what the, you know, pardon my French, what the fuck are you people doing to us? What are you leaving us with to come into when we come into adulthood? And so they're just doing a really good job. They're investigating. They're all doing a great job. But I'm really interested to see how that one's received, because, and I keep telling them, I'm like, you guys, listen, you need to shut the comments off, because there's going to be people that all they're going to hear is you said something bad about my side. And so they're going to come at them, but they're thick skinned. They're aware of it. And they're like, we're going to do what you told us. We're going to report the truth. We're going to report facts. And so we'll see. Our hope is to put that, the way the episodes will release of Underestimated is like last time. So each group is going to release 3 episodes. So you'll get 3 episodes from that group. You're going to get 3 episodes from, you know, the other ones. And then while those episodes are airing, because we don't air them until they have them done. So that'll take, you know, months to get all those episodes out. They're working on the next set of 2 or 3 episodes to follow up with that'll run over the summer. So that's a really long answer to your question. But yes, Underestimated Season 2 is coming.
Okay. And Lauren did ask specifically when episodes would be released. I didn't hear an actual full-on date in that discussion we just had. So I guess maybe we're not quite there.
Well, so
are we?
Our goal is the second week of April is when when they're going to come out. And I'm really hard on these kids with deadlines. So it should be then. The only reason things may get bumped back a little bit, I don't foresee this happening, is now we only have 2 weeks left before we go on our spring break. And 2 of the groups just tracked down some new witnesses. Like I mentioned, the one group was interviewing a detective today. So they kind of like have their scripts done. They're supposed to be moving into next week recording episode 3. And then they get these new interviews and they're having to, I'm having to go through the, it's awesome and it sucks at the same time, but time to throw out the rundown and figure out how that's going to fit into your episodes. So I'm giving them a little grace with that they can make some last minute adjustments. But in April, they will be coming out.
Very cool. Well, I'm very excited about that. I think it's incredibly brave and so smart and thoughtful for that particular podcast to, you know, that's what investigating and finding out what your own opinion is should be about. And maybe we'll all learn something from them. I hope we do. I feel like I did from the first season of Underestimated. So,
well, and really my big hope is even if what you learn is this is how the young adults, the teenagers, the high school students, the ones that are coming up to vote, at least be aware that this is how they're seeing the world. And a lot of it is being shaped by what we are putting out into the world through social media, because they're really focusing on not just traditional media, but social media, because that's one of their episodes. They put out polls through my ex account because I have, you know, enough followers that we can get decent numbers on polls. And they actually went to one of our local community festivals and polled people to try to figure out, like, where are people getting their information? Are they getting it from, you know, CNN and Fox News, or are they getting it from TikTok? You know, and they're investigating that too and trying to get some sample sizes to figure that out as well.
Cool. Well, I'm sure every different story that the kids are focusing on is going to be compelling and worth a listen. So Underestimated, you can listen now to the first season and get ready for season 2. One thing that I should have mentioned when we were talking about the We Are Resilient folks and Connie Walker, Kathy said, back when you did True Crime Binge, you had another Indigenous podcast on called The Red Justice Project. Kathy, I also remember that interview. Fantastic. Kathy says, they also bring cases of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Do you have any others like this in the upcoming lineup? Always looking for those recommendations, Kathy.
I don't have any lined up, but I can, I'll be searching for more. And again, for everybody listening to this, 2 things. One, keep sending in people you want to listen to. There are, and truthfully, I mean, I would say almost all of them, when you guys send me someone that you want to hear from, I reach out. But I'm not able to like get in touch with everybody always all the time. Some people just have their privacy settings set a certain way, and some just haven't gotten back to me. Some do. So keep sending those in. And then also keep in mind for these follow-up episodes, again, we keep saying this for season 18. As you hear, you know, I kind of foresee these being a lot of, you know, just what's going on this week in true crime. But also, you know, it's always better when we get a lot of questions from you. A lot of times when we do these interview episodes, you know, we only get 1 or 2 questions. So literally look on social media, shoot us emails, whatever, anything you want to talk about in the follow-up. Maybe it's not something that's a guest recommendation, but hey, here's something that's happening. Can you guys talk about this? Put it in that follow-up thread. Whether it's about something going on in true crime, if it's just something going on in our lives, whatever. We want these to be just conversational, where we're connecting with you guys and we're just trying to keep everybody informed and connected and things that are going on. Things like Sonny Coleman was the name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things like that. If you guys ever want to hear about stuff like that, make sure that you're asking. And Janet, is that it for questions? Can we wrap this thing up?
That is it.
All right. So next week, for those of you guys that like to watch live, I think, I have another thing that I have going on is my advanced broadcast journalism course for their big capstone for this semester is creating a documentary about the legacy of our girls' basketball team and their third year in a row trying for the first ever state championship in our school's history for the girls' basketball. They were runners up, they were Final Four, and they only have one loss this year and they're marching through. But that means that since we're in the state tournament right now, every other day I'm traveling hours with my kids to go film these games at night. So we're hoping if we can work this out, we're going to do this on Monday next week, the live. And we'll keep you guys informed, but there is a less than zero chance that we may have to skip out on the follow-up next week. And if we do, I'll find some time. We'll do some kind of little live stream for you guys. So we got something out for you. But just be aware that might happen. If it does, it's just because I can only do Monday is literally my only free night, and I got to see what Zach and Janet can do. So with that being said, again, right now, when you're done with this episode, go check out Blood Will Tell. First two episodes on Friday should already be out. They're coming out on Thursday. Make sure you tune in on Sunday for what I think is a really great discussion with the host of that show, Jen Miller. And we'll talk to you guys about it probably next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @TruthJusticePod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim, because this tax season, Fraud Paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.